SalesApe, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. SalesApe will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors. SalesApe is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers, and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's salesape.ai/podcast for a free demo.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready?
One thing we are often asked is, how do I make sales in my business? So today we're going to chat about all things how to master the art of selling. We'll cover how to position your social media, how to practice selling strategies, and uncovering valuable insights to help your brand stand apart from the rest. So we're going to start by diving into social media, because who doesn't use social media these days? All businesses basically thrive on social media. And Noel, I want you to kind of kick us off, because you're like the social media queen over here. So talk about how people can sell via social media, like particularly.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like social media is a tool that so many people look at for like entertainment purposes, or they get in a scroll hole, but people do not understand how powerful social media is for your business. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to you when you were working, you know, in corporate America, and I was like, listen, there is a whole world out there on social media, because you hated social media. Yes. And I'm like, let's just look at it from a different standpoint of like, what if you could build a huge, incredible business and make an impact on this social media space, because where else can you reach hundreds of people in 10 minutes?
And I still hate it, but it works. Like like Instagram brings in so much of my clientele. And I mean, if I wasn't for a business, I wouldn't have it, but you're right. Like it absolutely works. If you have the right strategies, and if you know your audience, and if you do it right, which is the whole point of this episode.
Definitely. And even when it comes to your ministry, I always think of it that way too. Like, where else could you share a Bible verse, or where else could you share your story that it's going to reach that many people that quickly?
Yep.
Let's dive into social media. So first, I feel like this is something a lot of people mess up on social media, and I see it happen all the time, and it's your target audience. So in trying to reach everyone, you truly reach no one. So I feel like that you have to know who your target audience is. I did a mastermind training course one time, and they were like, close your eyes. And they made us do this exercise, and they were like, what does your perfect customer look like? Like, what are her personality traits, or his? What are their personality traits? What type of reviewer would they be, or what type of customer would they be? And so it really helped me like open my eyes to, okay, I'm not trying to reach everyone. I'm just trying to reach my people.
Yeah.
So knowing your target audience is huge. It shows you who to show up for. So in your content, you can be intentional, because everything on social media should be intentional. It's done with intention. So,
and there's, and I want to add too, there's a fear that if you niche down too much, that you're going to lose out on so many people, so many sales. And I had that fear at first. Like, it's a normal thing, but it's just not accurate. So like, don't be afraid to go, I mean, go deep into like psychographics, demographics, like how old are they? Where do they spend their time? Who do they follow on social media? Look at their comments. You got to turn into a little bit of a stalker to like really get to know them. And then that's when you tailor the content. So when you feel the fear that you're niching down too much, kick it out the door because it's going to happen, but yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to your business, when it comes to your life, don't be afraid to share your life. That's what I always tell people. Like, I think a lot of times content becomes our life, but our life should be our content, right? So a lot of times we can get so sucked into the content, like, oh my gosh, content, 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 but people just want to connect with you. And yep. We're going to dive deeper into that later. But next is branding. And I love me some branding, but branded content. So what value do you add and why do people come to your page? So I always tell my girls, like, when people think of you, what are three things that would come to mind when they think of you? And stand on that and stick to that, but also have like an aesthetically pleasing. And I ride the line of like aesthetic and me. That's what I was talking to Bethany. We interviewed her, and you guys, listen, if you didn't check out that episode, check it out. But I was talking to her and I was like, you know, I don't want to lose this on my personal page. I want it to be me, but I still want it to be aesthetic too.
And cohesive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so you want your viewer to know what they're coming to your page for. Mm-hmm. And that's where we miss the mark a lot of times. We're just posting and praying.
Yeah.
And you really need to stick to your brand.
And again, branding is not just a color palette, a font, and sticking to this Canva template. It is those things. Like, those things matter, but it is the values. And we have an episode on creating your values. We have an episode that we just did with Bethany on branding. So like, go back and listen to those. If you haven't done those first two steps, you need that. And it'll explain like how to be a brand with values and with a visual design as well.
And when you have a strong brand, it's so much easier to pivot.
It is. It's easier to create content too. Yes. Like, when I first started, it was shooting from the hip, do it yourself. It was just not good. There was zero strategy there. And then when I worked with Bethany and I got a brand strategy, I like came alive in, content's so easy now. I don't even really have to think about it because I know X, Y, Z. I know what I stand for. I know who to want to reach. And so you're really going to help yourself and you're not going to think as much because it's just going to come natural because you know who you are, you know what you stand for, you know what you offer, you know who you're offering to. So everything just becomes more streamlined when you have a solid brand.
Yes. And from that content and that branding comes the connection. And so you can post all day long, you can preach, you can do all the things, but at the end of the day, if you're not connecting, you're not converting.
Absolutely.
So the connection is key. And I feel like we all do connection different. And that's what I always tell the women I'm mentoring, is that the way I connect might not be the way that you connect.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, the way that I connect with my audience, that doesn't have to be the way that you connect with your audience. Like, for me, I connect just by showing up and being a mess. Yeah. And I always tell people, and I love this about social media, you don't have to be a mess. If you want to get up and put your makeup on every single day, do it.
Yeah.
If you want to get up and get dressed every day, do it. Like, you don't have to be a mess, you know? And we live in this kind of like age where it's like the hot mess is the thing, but it really is my life.
Yeah. You know? But I also, on top of that, like, I think sometimes we think we have to show up as a mess to be real.
Yeah.
And that's not, it's true for some people, but it's not true for everybody. Yeah. And like, exactly what you said, it's going to be different for everybody. And like, you and I, our brands are like so different. Mine's like humor and sarcasm and just stupidity. And like, people love, like, I just made a reel the other day of dancing terribly to rating marketing tactics, and people loved it. Like, that's how I connect with my consumers, just like through humor and things like that. So it's not going to, I love that you said it's not going to look the same, but again, you keep in mind, like, Who is your audience? Who is your community? What do they connect with? For Noelle, I know it's that. I know it is the hot mess. It is her showing up that way. It's her having her morning devotion. It's her, I mean, she has such good community. But again, it's different than how I have community, and it works for both of us.
It has to be you.
Yeah.
And your network and your audience, they are always going to see through you.
Yep.
And so that's what I tell my girls. Like, if you're not a mess, why would you be a mess?
Exactly.
You know, because I'm like, man, I don't want to be a mess, but it's like, it's who I am. So
definitely
staying true to you. And that's how you're going to find your people. Next is lead capture. So to kind of wrap up social media, everyone that you do connect with, that is a potential. And then this is something I want to make clear. Not everyone is your potential. And not everyone is your future mm-hmm. business partner. Not everyone is your customer, but you can still connect with people. Like, I have a lot of followers that have never bought anything from
yeah.
me. You know, they just love me for me and I love them for them. Mm-hmm. And we're social media friends, yeah. you know, but then I have people that I know like, okay, yeah, they need my product. They need my service. Mm-hmm. They need my mentorship. And so that comes to a lead capture. And so have a way that people can connect with you. If it's a form, if it is an email, people can sign up for your email list. Have a way, if it's a link on your social media, mm-hmm. whatever it is, like have a lead generation and a lead capture mm-hmm. where you can nurture those leads.
Yep. Yeah. You need a way to funnel them into your community. That's mm-hmm. that's key. And so a lot of times you'll see, you know, we call freebies, like free content that they can download, a guide, a tutorial of something, like anything like that to get them into your community. Then you can start making more of a connection with them. But I love those points. So what are some particular like selling strategies, or what can you focus on to increase the likelihood of a sale or increase your conversions? So first, you need to have a foundation of these four basics. And the first one is be personable. That's my favorite thing to talk about. I like in my emails or social media is like, you think you have to talk like you're from Harvard, have this buttoned up copy and this buttoned up message, but like who actually likes that? Like talk to your consumer the way that they talk, like be personable, show your personality, get on the phone, do a video chat, do a phone call. Like, I mean, even move into the DMs, but like go a step further than DMs. Get on Zoom. Like most of the clients that I book, we do a face-to-face Zoom call first. That way we can see each other's vibe and like actually air quote meet air quote. And yeah. it makes such a difference to have that personable connection.
Next is be knowledgeable. I feel like in any industry that you work in, knowledge is power. And the more knowledgeable you are about what you're selling, what you're talking about, the value that you're giving, the more likely you're going to be to convert.
Yeah. Like if you know you're about to have a conversation with someone, learn about them first, learn about their business first, like do a deep dive into their world. That way you can make personal connection. You can make personal comments like, oh, I saw you have a black cat. Like I am obsessed with cats. Mm-hmm. What's its name? Things like that. And it can feel slimy if you're doing it in a slimy way. So if you're doing those things simply to make a sale, in my opinion, that's like not having integrity. Like you should have a desire to have a genuine connection with this person and you're looking into them for that reason and that reason alone. So part of that is not being attached to their answer, not going into the conversation like I'm going to get them to buy from me and I'm going to sell my product or service. No, like I'm going to go into this conversation to make a connection. Mm-hmm. How can I make a connection? Naturally, you're probably more likely to increase a conversion. But again, like if you're going into a conversation with being personable, with having knowledge of them just to make a sale, you're most likely going to kind of ruin that sale. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And if the connection doesn't convert immediately, that connection can convert later down the road.
It's still important. Yes. Like it's still community building. Yes. Like it doesn't, again, it don't be attached to only selling.
Yes, it can serve you well later on. So mm-hmm. don't get so caught up in like converting immediately. What if they know someone and then they refer their friends to you?
Exactly.
Or what if you're at an event and you run into them and then it's like, oh yep. my gosh, hey, because everyone thinks that this world is so big, like the world's so big, but truly it's so small.
No, Ellen, I went to Nashville like a month ago for that event and we were in Buc-ee's and she got a message from this lady that she had never met. And they were like, you have a twin. I just saw your twin yeah. in Buc-ee's. And it's just because they knew her from social media. Mm-hmm. Like Noelle didn't really know her. Am I correct in
yeah.
saying that?
Yeah.
And so again, like we were like, what the heck? Like what a small world.
Yeah. Yeah. It just goes to show that your impact is so great, mm-hmm. but we really do live in such yeah. a small world. Like it's so small.
Yeah. Next is add value. Everything you do should be adding some type of value to your consumer, whether that's in business, whether that's in their personal life, in their spiritual walk. Everything you do, every interaction needs to add some type of value. That way they want to keep talking to you. They want to keep learning from you. They want to be on your page. They want to look at your website. They want to read your emails.
Yeah. One way too that I add value that I feel like is a little bit different is I always share the lows. And so
yes.
I've made a promise to myself when I started working on social media that I was not going to be a highlight reel because there's so much of that. But sharing the lows, sharing when I fail, sharing just the hard days, that is adding value because that is building connection because people can relate to that. Most people can't relate to selling a bajillion dollars a month in whatever you're selling. But like people can relate to, man, today was hard. Like as a parent, today was hard. Man, today as a woman, it was hard. You know, my faith was tested or whatever. So that is one way that you can add value that's not so in your face. Like, look at this, look at this, look at this. It's like, no, I see you, I feel you, and I hear you.
Yeah, I think we need to do more of that. Like that trend that's been going around, like the social media is fake, but here are some things that aren't. I love that so much. But then I was like, man, it's so sad that it took a trend for people to start being real and open about their lives, because like the people eat that up. It went viral for a reason. And I'm like, that needs to be the norm.
And last, provide great customer service because customer service is rare these days. I feel like lately, and I don't know if this is just me, but when I walk into like a brick and mortar store, customer service is dead.
Oh, it's so bad.
If you get a good experience, it's like, oh my gosh, thank you.
Yes.
And it used to be if you get a bad experience, it's like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
Yeah.
Now it's like you get a good one and it's like, oh my gosh, thank the Lord. We had
and
a
lot
experience.
Of it's like younger people. Yes. Like it's like the Gen Z and younger ages. It's like they don't want to be there. They don't want to look at you. And that's not anything like on that age group. I mean, like maybe they're not taught. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I've had so many experiences lately where it's like, geez.
Yeah, this is something that can really build that return in your business.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to give you some different strategies that you can implement to increase your sales. First thing that I, as a copywriter, always do is I segment my audience. So what that means is divide your customers into groups based on things like age or their location or their interests. And then you tailor your marketing message and your offers to each of those segments. So for example, for Noelle, who's in the beauty industry, and I know a lot of your community is also in that industry, you would segment, or you could segment your audience into older women because they more likely are going to focus on anti-aging products. And then another segment for younger, like Gen Z, millennial aged women who are going to more likely be focused on like wanting dewy skin or acne products. And you're going to treat your skin different based on your age, based on your needs. So segmenting your audience into different desires, i.e. anti-aging versus dewy skin or acne-free skin, then you can tailor your marketing message and the products and the offers that you talk about to those messages. So for someone like me with like copywriting and marketing, I would segment based on, do they want to increase sales? Do they want to build community? Do they want to develop a brand voice? You're going to speak to each of those segments differently. And it could be even, I don't really advise doing like a mental segmentation because that doesn't help anyone. Like if you have an email list, literally segment your email and send specific emails to each group. If you're just only on social media, then it would maybe look like just making like different types of content. So making reels, carousels, static posts specifically for the older generations and then specifically for the younger generation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it all comes back to targeting your audience.
Exactly.
And so it's knowing who you're showing up for, and don't be afraid to niche down. If mature women are your target, then base your content around that. Yep. And that is definitely going to help you in your business.
Yeah.
Next is create urgency when it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So use psychological triggers like limited time offers or exclusive promotions or limited stock to create a sense of urgency. And then that encourages people to buy now rather than later, because FOMO is real.
It is. And please use integrity with this. Like I've seen so many coaches in different industries just use fake FOMO. And I've seen it on like large brands too. Like every time I go to this one website, they have a 48% off sale and it's always that same number marked out. And I'm like, you got me. Cause like, I remember buying the product and then like 6 months later, it still says the same. So it was like a fake urgency tactic. And I don't like your company now cause you lied to me. So like people will see through that and that can like diminish their trust and your authority with them. So only use urgency when it's truly there. Otherwise you risk like really tarnishing your reputation.
One of my pet peeves is like to increase your price because you're going to have to discount it eventually. Mm-hmm. That drives me crazy.
I don't know why it took me years to figure out that's every Black Friday sale ever. Yes. Like I saw it this past year. People were making videos. They were peeling off the new Black Friday sticker to mm-hmm. showcase that it's the literal same price. They yeah. just like, it's always 600, but then on Black Friday, they said it's like 850 and it's mm-hmm. marked down to 600. And I was like, liars. And I'm like, I should have known, duh. But like, I just felt so fooled. Next, we hit on this a little bit with your foundation, but we're going to go a little further into that is optimize your customer experience. So just like we said, like customer service is rare these days and good customer service is rare. So always provide the best customer service to your clients. And that doesn't always mean like a, when we say customer service, we think of like telemarketing and like when you're checking out at a cash register, but even digital businesses, like it's your consumer experience. Mm-hmm. So this means like continuously improve every touch point of the customer journey. So from like browsing your website to receiving their order, or for you completing the service that you're providing, make it easy. Make it enjoyable, make it memorable for them to interact with your brand. So one way that I do this is automation and workflows. So I use a CRM called Dubsado, and I have workflows for each service implemented. So like they're getting emails from me constantly mm-hmm. at every touch point from the moment they book their discovery call to the moment we finish their project. They are getting emails for different things from me, like checking in, asking for feedback, like sending revisions, like everything's automated. So it's less work on me. I'm not really doing much, but I'm still interacting with them. And it has improved my customer experience so much. Like I just get better feedback doing it that way.
Yes, I love that. One thing I do that's old school that I will never let this die is like handwritten notes mm-hmm. or like thank yous, or just simply sending someone a gift in the mail for yes. constantly supporting me, constantly referring people to me, just taking time to make it personable. That is going to be a big return on your business. Yeah. And I think that the reason why you and I do this so well is because of our personal experiences. It's like we've invested money and it's been not a good move. We've invested money and gotten horrible customer service. Yeah. And then we've also worked with brands that were like, man, I can learn from this. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to take that and make it my own. And so you have to be constantly getting better at this.
Yup. Next is invest in remarketing. So maybe it's you need to just simply rebrand yourself. Maybe you need like a whole new facelift for your business, or maybe it's just using things like retargeting ads. Like if you have budget to do some type of ad spend, like run ads, or if you're a product-based business, sometimes they annoy me, but they work. So like you have to know your consumer a little bit with this, but abandoned cart emails
yes.
to re-engage with people who have shown interest in your products. Like mm-hmm. how many times have you been shopping on a website? You put something in your cart, you shop like 8 different dresses and then you don't check it out. And then you get an email and it's like, hey, you forgot something in yes. your cart. It works though. Mm-hmm. And it makes me be like, maybe I should go buy that. So like things like retargeting, especially if they haven't made a purchase yet, like really works. So remind them why they were interested in your product or your service and encourage them to complete your purchase. It doesn't have to be pushy. It doesn't have to be slimy or gross, but just like a simple touch point again of like that extra step in the customer experience and your communication with them.
And understanding that your customer is busy. I think this was really yes. hard for me until I kind of stepped into it myself, but don't feel slimy over sending a follow-up, because 9 times out of 10, your customer has gotten distracted.
1,000%.
They have a million things going yes. on. And I truly appreciate follow-up emails yes. or those abandoned carts, because yes. I'm like, crap, I didn't check out. I need that dress for an event or mm-hmm. whatever. Don't just assume that you're being slimy or pushy, and just kind of think of your customer in the situation that they are in.
Yep. And they see so many, they get so many emails. They see so many posts. Like they are just constantly loaded with like content every single day, that you're right. Like it's most likely it got buried, or they didn't see it, or they simply forgot. Like I need so many reminders. So mm-hmm. I agree with that. And worst case, they can unsubscribe. Like if you're sending emails, they can simply unsubscribe. If it's social media, they can simply unfollow. So allow your user to make that choice for themselves.
Next is social proof. This is huge in what I do. So it's third-party validation pretty much. Mm-hmm. And so what it does is it, especially the UGC content, you want to showcase positive reviews. You want to showcase testimonials. You want to showcase user-generated content to build credibility and trust within your consumers and your customers. And so what this does is I feel like a lot of times, especially when you're working in sales and you have a consumer, they're automatically thinking, oh, she's going to try to sell me something, you know, like she's going to try to push her offer or her product or whatever. But when they see that third party validation, it's like, ooh, like that person's not benefiting at all from me purchasing this from her, you know? Yeah. So in my industry, that is big. Like I think of in skincare and beauty, it's like before and afters or like testimonials from your friends or people that you that like, know, and trust you. That's huge for your business.
Yeah. I mean, think of when you scroll TikTok, like it feels like every other video these days is like commission or like some type of ad for something. But that one, that's one thing TikTok does great is the UGC content. So like the viral unbrush, like how many videos did you see with the unbrush hairbrush? And they didn't like specifically say, hey, buy this. They're just like, this brush, oh my gosh, it doesn't get gunky, or I never have tangles with this. And it just makes you want it because you're hearing from real people with real experiences. So next is offer value-added services. So what that means is provide additional services or benefits alongside the main offer to differentiate yourself from your competitors and provide extra value to your customers. So this could include things like free shipping where they're buying something off of you, additional discounts. So if they book a service, they get 25% off of their next service with you, bonus services, upsells, discounts on products, things like that will one, increase their experience with you. Two, it just offers more value because you're kind of giving something in return for them buying something. Does that make sense?
And build strategic partnerships. So collaborate with other businesses or organizations that share your target audience, but offer complementary products or services. And so something I try to remember is be the customer I wish I had. So if I have a friend that is doing the same thing as me, this is kind of where we get it twisted. You think that supporting someone doing the same thing as you is going to diminish your light. And that's just women. Yeah. Like that's women in general, but it is not true. So be the customer you wish you had. If you bought a beautiful, whatever, dress from your friend's boutique, post that dress and tag her and be the customer that you wish that you would be. But build those collaboration and those relationships because that allows you to reach new customers and to create those mutually beneficial relationships. And affiliate programs are great for this. So it's a good way to get the product and your name out there in front of a different audience.
Also, Noelle has this really beautiful royal blue toenail polish on and I was staring at it while you were talking and I love it.
Thank you.
It's really pretty. Okay, next is optimize pricing strategies. So this experiment with different pricing models. And really what I'm talking about here is like tiered pricing. So tiered pricing can help you find the optimal balance between maximizing revenue and satisfying customer demand. So it's like proven if you have a low, middle, and high pricing model that it will increase the number of sales you have than if you just had a standalone offer. So for instance, for us, we do website copywriting. Like if you do a full website, obviously that's going to be our highest tiered pricing. It is an expensive service, but we have an option to do a landing page, which is the middle pricing where you just do, instead of doing five website pages, you do just one website page that kind of has all of the stuff on there. And then the lowest tier would be a website audit. You write the copy, we come in and we audit it and we tell you what revisions you need to make. So we have a low, middle, and a higher price options. They're still getting what they need, which is help on their website, but it gives them options to fit their budget. And then they're more likely to purchase one of those options because they have options. So that works. Like it's literally statistically proven that they're more likely to buy. It's going to increase your conversion rate. So even if you're a product-based business, you could have different, like a, maybe a smaller brush, like a mini version of a Kabuki brush or like a little tiny blender, you know what I mean? Like it, you can do this pretty much with everything. Figure out how to create a tiered pricing model and it's going to help you sell your stuff more.
Yeah, I do this with skincare specifically because if you don't, if you can't invest into the full regimen. We have enough product. You have enough product where you can help them curate a regimen to get started, or makeup. Like maybe they can't do primer, foundation, setting spray, but they could do primer and foundation. So it literally is the same across the board, no matter what you're doing.
Yep.
Next, utilize your analytics. So dive deep into your sales data to uncover insights about your customer behavior. So what products are performing well and what services are performing well, and also market trends, because trends I feel like are constantly changing, and we have to remain true to us and what we provide, but also pay attention to those trends as well. So use this information to make those data-driven decisions and optimize your sales strategies for better results. So one way that I do this is when you are working as an influencer or an affiliate marketer or whatever online, it's like you have all of these things and all of these companies that want to work with you. I mean, I'll have the most random essential oils. Like I'm not an essential oil girl, right? But you'll have like all of these random brands come to you, but I know my analytics and I know what my consumer wants. So if it's not in alignment with that, I'm not just going to add it to make money. I'm going to only pick those products that are proven to convert with my audience.
So if you have a blog or you utilize email marketing or something, like if you have a website, you should be using like Google Search Console or Google Analytics. Like look at what pages are getting like the top website clicks. Look at what blogs are being read the most. Look at where your traffic is. Look at the content that the people are looking at. Ask yourself, why are they looking at this? Like what is on this page? And then like create more content based around that, create more blogs based around that, send more emails based around that content. So like data is key in improving your sales because it's looking at what your customers do. It's basically like following in their footprints. Like they like this, therefore you need to do more of X, Y, Z. So data, like I cannot tell you enough, if you're on social media only, if you're not a business account, make sure that you're a business account and then go look at your insights. Like what reels performed better? What had the most comments? Like what are people engaging with? And then create that type of content. Again, that goes back to looking at your analytics and your data and then just tailor everything you do based around where people are spending their time, what they're clicking on, what they're enjoying.
Yeah, lately, this is something that I've noticed in my business, and I do reels consistently and I love reels, but I've always liked reels like funny reels or reels that are transitions or, you know, and we're getting out of that, like lip syncing, we're getting out of all of those. And so what does well on my page is voiceovers and just me, me in front of the camera putting makeup on. And so that was a hard shift for me because I'm like, I don't like this, you know, but at the end of the day, it's not really about what we like.
What are they consuming?
It's about what is performing well and how can we serve our consumer?
Yep. And the last thing, which we touched on earlier, again, is customer education. So providing that valuable content that we talked about, tutorials, like Noelle does that so much of like how to do certain makeup looks, how to incorporate certain beauty products, how to use certain colors, guides that help customers understand how to use your product or implement your services. So like I just released like a psychological playbook. So how to use some psychological triggers in your marketing, things like that, that they can learn from you and implement into their business themselves. And that helps them grow, that helps them understand things better. So this builds trust. It positions you as an expert in your field. And ultimately it does drive sales.
Remember when it comes to sales, that it's all about connection and nurturing.
So we want to invite you to revive your spirit by meditating on this scripture. It is Psalm 128 verses 1 and 2. It says, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours." God has promised to bless all those who fear him and walk in his ways. So this Bible verse was written so believers would know the joy that only God can give. Your financial situation, no matter how great or small, does not determine your happiness, but rather your spiritual relationship with him. So remember, it's okay to have goals. It's okay to strive for more. It's okay to want to make sales, obviously, but it's not how much money you have, but by where and how we worship the Lord.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.